Welcome to the Context Machine, episode 582, and you are in luck today because it turns out that I am your co-host, Brian Chaffin.
And Brian is especially lucky because It also turns out that I'm Jeff Gamet, your other co-host.
Oh, goody.
I know. And double bonus, you can find us on contextmachine.io.
You can also use contextmachine.io. Do you think anyone believed that the... That was anyway, contextmachine.io to reach Every out word. To us. All straight from the heart. Or on Twitter at contextmachine.
Yeah.
That's how we roll. Now, another way we roll is that we were recording today when Jeff has got some other two-timing hussy to record. So we actually have to keep this one kind of tight.
Okay, I accept your apology.
So before we started recording, I kept throwing that at Jeff just to either get him really riled up or make him laugh. And well done, sir. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well done. Well, then, what are we talking about today? We have two things, right?
Yeah, I made us a Trello card. We are so professional. We have a Trello board. The Trello card says Obi-Wan Kenobi, web browsers suck.
Right. Obi-Wan Kenobi is the newest Star Wars show on the Disney Plus.
Right. And just to give everyone a fair heads up, there's going to be some spoilers for episodes 1 and 2, but we're not talking about episode 3,
which is the
because it hasn't been out long enough.
Yeah,
right.
So please, right now,
spoiler alert.
We'll give you a second if you just want to if you've got something using chapters, you can just skip ahead if you don't want any spoilers.
Wait, do we have chapters?
I do chapters every episode, man. Did you not know that?
That's so cool. No, I had no idea.
that's actually the thing that takes the longest in post-production is because they all have to have timestamps too.
Right.
And I mean, don't get me wrong. My chapters aren't great because it'll often be so the introduction, right? But that's at 0000000. And then it'll be when we actually start talking about whatever it is that we're talking about, I'll make that a chapter. And then I just skip ahead to the sponsor spot. And so if there are any other things in between that should be broken up into chapters, I think the technical term is tough titty.
All right, I'll accept that.
And then after the sponsor shot, I do the next chapter.
That's so cool.
And then I do a chapter for the outro. So anyway, you're welcome. I mean, listen, if you're smart, you just skip ahead to chapters until it's the outro, and then you never listen to us again.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm still marveling at how professional we are. I mean, you're doing chapters, and I made us a Trello board.
Consummate professionals. All right, so here's the thing. Good Lord. Fortunately, we don't have a sponsor today. Much to everybody's relief,
I can't imagine why.
The folks at Backbeat Media have been loading us up with sponsors, which we appreciate. But
we do.
This is a rare,
except for this week. So what's their problem?
Yeah, exactly. Ichabod's pretty upset about it too. I don't know if you can hear him.
Oh yeah, Kat just got so pissed off that she jumped off my desk.
Oh wow. That's real anger.
You're not going to believe what I heard her saying about Backbeat Media under her breath. Quite frankly, I was offended.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with the controversial, possibly controversial statement.
All right, I'm sitting.
Obi-Wan Kenobi is my least favorite of the spinoff shows. But I like it.
Okay. I can see where you would prep people for a controversial statement, because there's a lot of people that feel like this is the best of the Disney franchise spinoff shows.
I mean, we have a long way to go. I haven't watched episode 3. So I've only watched the first 2 episodes, and I'm loving it, and I can't wait to see episode 3. But I don't feel like the I guess I did really like episode 2, now that I say that. But it doesn't – I love Ewan McGregor, and his Sir Alec Guinness impression is exactly what it needs to be and is almost flawless. But I'm not – I'm overall I don't feel like the show is as tight as The Mandalorian or The Book of Boba Fett. It's not as tight.
All right. Well, I'm curious to see what you think after watching episode 3. You know, just because you'll have another show under your belt to you know, to put into the mix. You know, I love The Mandalorian. I just think it's a wonderful Star Wars show, and I'm really really enjoying Obi-Wan. And I'm enjoying the cast that they've put together for this.
Is great.
The cast is great, and I mean, like the cute little actress that's playing young Leia. She's just fantastic, and she just keeps stealing scenes.
Yeah, I will agree with that.
Yeah. I think this is one of the strongest Disney Plus Star Wars shows right now. I'm putting it right up there with The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I'm glad that you're enjoying it that way. I am not. I don't even know what's bugging me. It's actually something about Ewan McGregor. Or the part, like, as it's written, like I said, I as an actor, I adore him. He was the bright spot in the prequels, which I mostly didn't enjoy. I don't know if I'm just sort of like disaffected with how disaffected he is, which would actually be the goal, I think, right? In which case I'm reacting appropriately to an intended aspect of the show. I don't know, and don't get me wrong, I love the show. It's just of the 3 that I've seen, and I'm not counting the cartoons, which I've watched very little of.
Okay,
of the 3, basically this new generation of spinoff shows, I'm enjoying this one the least of the 3, but I'm enjoying it very much.
Okay. I think is it okay to say disenchantment you're having with the Obi-Wan character is one of the things that I'm really enjoying about the series.
Sure.
This takes place, what, 9 years?
Nine or ten years after.
So this is after Revenge of the Sith ends, and
roughly 8 or 9 years before Episode 4,
before A New Hope.
Yeah.
And actually, I've had a couple or seen a couple memes on Twitter where people are saying that they're having a hard time believing that the Obi-Wan Kenobi looks physically like he does in this series and then would look like he does in A New Hope.
Couldn't care less about that. Followed
by people. Yeah.
But then it's
pictures of Obama when he started his presidency and when he ended his presidency. Yeah, right. And it's like, oh yeah, I can totally believe it. Yeah.
Well, also different actors, also different times. I mean, how many people look at a 40-year-old person in 1976, right? And they are look 40-year-old people today look younger than 40-year-old people did in 76 or 66 or 56 or 46, et cetera.
Right.
Yes. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Also, it's just different. I mean, like, suspend your disbelief a little bit, please.
Yeah, please. But anyhow, the fact that Obi-Wan is kind of beaten down a little bit, he's clearly not dealing with emotional trauma that he has, and appears very disillusioned with the state of his world and probably the whole Star Wars galaxy as a whole at this point. And I'm totally buying into it. I can absolutely see someone even as great as Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi is supposed to be just really not dealing with this well, because you know, he knows that he's made mistakes and took actions that directly led to where they are.
And like, may I please pick it myself?
Sure. I mean, we're both here and we're both going to do it, so why not? and then we'll pick me.
How this disaffectedness that the Obi-Wan character, I wonder if he means old Ben. You think? Okay, sorry. Flashback.
Huh.
Post-traumatic.
It's the blue milk. That's what he's pissed off about.
That's what he's pissed off about. If you look at A New Hope, and once you learn who old Ben actually is, who he is, how powerful he is, who he trained, the question begs, why the crap has he been just kind of hiding out on this, you know, on this planet instead of actually doing something? And this shows that. This shows that process. Yeah,
yes. I mean, he's in a position where he has to lay low, because if he's actively using the Force, well, then Darth Vader and the Inquisitors are going to have a much easier job tracking him down. And if his job is to watch over from afar young Luke, well, he can't do anything that draws attention to himself.
Well, but but it sure is couched in a lot of fear, though. It's couched in a lot of like, I'm worthless and I'm also scared.
I don't know if it's so much fear as it's self-doubt and disappointment.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. By the way, listeners.
And guilt. I think there's some guilt in there.
A ton of guilt. There's got to be a ton of guilt. Listeners, and notice how I got that right this time. What do you think about this? Please write. You can write me at GeekTales on Twitter. You can write Jeff at JGamut, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can write us at Context Machine on Twitter. Or you can use our site at contextmachine.io. I hate to throw too many options at you, but my point is I would truly like to hear what you have to say about this and like how you're feeling about the show compared to the other ones, assuming that you're, I guess, a fan and have watched them in the first place. I want to iterate that I am thoroughly enjoying it.
As am I. Hey, Brian, can I throw out another thing about the show that I'm really enjoying?
Sure. Is it aimed at me?
It's the fact that everything's aimed at you. It's all about you.
Go ahead.
Well, the show, just by the nature of what it is, it really needs to start out on Tatooine.
Yeah.
It leaves.
That's true.
And just go to other planets.
It's true. And getting that sort of look into the broader world was very exciting. Broader universe. I always enjoy that sort of thing. It's one of the things I liked about Picard, for instance, was seeing more of, you know, the Federation. I love that. And still do love that. And I love getting broader glimpses at things, especially when we've been giving a narrow vision heretofore.
Yes. And it's one of the things that I loved about the Clone Wars animated series.
Yeah.
There are a couple episodes that take us to Tatooine, but it's really, they're taking us to Jabba's palace because it's episodes that involve the Hutt clan.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, they don't go to Tatooine. It's like so many other planets. It's really cool.
I have a question for you, if I can actually articulate it.
Okay.
Is it already gone? Is it already gone out of my head? We've got the Star Trek. We've got the thing. We've got the thing. Oh, okay. The young woman who is the Jedi hunter.
Yes.
What's her name?
Third sister.
Is she one of the kids? My assumption is that the young person who turns to Obi-Wan for help, I'll just put it that way, in episode 2, is one of those kids, and that she's another one of those kids. The kids that basically had to make a run for it. Because we keep getting shown that episode, what is that, episode 3 flashback?
Yes.
In the previously on segment.
It's possible.
That would explain her anger.
If it's okay, so if that's the case,
we don't know that. We don't what you're telling me is we don't actually know if she's one of those kids.
No, we don't know her backstory.
All right, go ahead.
But if she is one of those kids that we saw running for their lives, then that brings up another potential very fascinating link, which could tie in to characters from the Clone Wars animated series.
Mm.
And if that's the case, then that would make her character just incredibly tragic.
Yeah, I hope that's so. I hope that we keep being shown those kids from episode 3 because that plays into the series. That's the only thing that actually makes any sense. And the age is right.
Right.
And so is the age of the young man that went went looking for Obi-Wan for help. His age is right.
Mm-hmm.
Her seething hatred for Obi-Wan would make sense in that context too. So if it's not, this is some stupid misdirection.
Yeah. But if it is, and then it ties back into characters from the Clone Wars, making her character incredibly tragic. The episodes that I'm referring to are the ones where Ahsoka Tano takes a group of the younglings to go find their kyber crystals. And they end up on this big adventure. And then of course at the end of the venture, everyone's fine. But that would mean that this character, third sister, would have a direct link back to Obi-Wan Kenobi from when she was a child.
That makes sense. As a complete digression, Anson Mount, I just threw you Anson Mount's Twitter feed, which I am enjoying.
Oh, Anson Mount is fantastic.
And we're talking about Christopher Pike in Strange New Worlds, and we'll have that link in the show notes.
Yes. And on a side note, his comments about the racist comments that people have been making about Moses Ingram. You go, Anson. The racism and bigotry that has been thrown at Moses Ingram, who plays Third Sister, is just completely unacceptable and deplorable.
Absolutely.
And, and to also see so many
unjustified
people.
And ridiculous.
Right. Right. Yeah. And to see so many people from the industry just immediately standing up and saying, hey, whoa, this is not acceptable. And, you know, and including Disney itself and then Paramount, you know, and so on one level, these are companies that are direct competitors, but they're both just standing up, the two big franchises saying, whoa, no.
Yeah.
Racism and bigotry. No.
This and misogyny. Does not fly.
And misogyny.
I'm
sick yes.
of this. I am ready for the bigots, the misogynists, the racists, the homophobes, the transphobes. I'm ready for them to all crawl back under their gosh darn rocks.
I think we should reserve the B arc for them.
The B arc.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
There was a race that felt that middle management had no place in their society because it was all these people that weren't actually doing anything.
Ah.
So they concocted a whole scheme where they said our planet's going to be destroyed, and so we're making the A arc, the B arc, and the C arc, and so the B arc, we're going to put all the middle managers on it. And there are some other groups, you know, like phone sanitizers and hairdressers. and we're going to send you off first and we'll follow you and it'll be great. And I'm thinking, why not, instead of putting those people on the B arc, let's put the racist misogynists.
Yes.
On the B arc.
Yes. Ready for them to go away. Ready for them to be unemboldened. All right. Speaking of being emboldened,
mm-hmm.
You wanted to complain about browsers. And we're running out of time.
All right. So we'll probably end up having to dive into this deeper later on when we have more time. But here's the short version.
Yeah.
I'm very frustrated with the state of web browsers in general. That I feel like they are all basically the same at this point. And what I mean is, when you look at Google Chrome, and then you look at Safari, and then you look at Firefox, and then you look at Microsoft Edge, and just go on down the list with all these browsers, they all look alike. They all perform basically the same. They all do the same things. Yes, there's some under the hood differences, you know, like how much tracking does this browser do versus this browser. But for the most part, we haven't seen any real innovation in web browsers in a long time. And it's become a homogenized space where at this point, I don't feel like for most people, it makes any difference what web browser you use. And I'm getting very frustrated with this. And the fact that I'm actually having to do things like go and buy subscriptions to plugins like Workona.
Like what?
And I love Workona. To be able to do the things that I want to do, manage and organize content the way that I want, to be able to tie in to the apps that I'm using and the services that I'm using directly. I'll include a link to Workona in the show notes because it is a really cool thing. But I'm just very frustrated that we are this far into the life cycle of web browsers. And they've all become basically the same ho-hum thing.
Well, I would argue that there are some who appreciate that being able to go from browser to browser is useful. At the same time, I would, like, I'm going to take both sides of my own coin and argue that there are some things that Chrome and Firefox both do better than Safari. Because Safari is so busy protecting us that sometimes it's less than useful.
Sure.
And so, I mean, that is a difference.
Yeah. We're talking about minor differences at this point. And now at the same time, protecting my privacy is a major thing. But when you look at the functionality of all these products and the way that we are using web browsers today and the way that they become such an integral part just in being able to do your job. Why have not web browsers evolved to really embrace that and give us a much better experience?
That's fair. I'm going to throw in, I know we don't have a whole lot of time. Matter of fact, we maybe should have not even, we should have like.
Let's consider this a teaser for a future discussion. And now our listeners can get involved and share their comments, and we'll discuss all of it when we come back to this one.
All right. Well,
so why don't we circle back?
Let me close with this, because I know that we need to go so that you can go two time with your other hussies.
I mean, yes.
Is that there is, we are sort of like in the midst of this shift to the various new technologies that are often called Web3.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think that some of what you're complaining about may well be related to the time necessary to get through that shift. Because some of the technologies themselves are in flux.
Okay, so we are in a state right now where we have a great opportunity for web browser developers, where someone or some company can come up with something that that is revolutionary. And
but there's no money to be made. Web browsers have become, I mean, labors of love or labors of promoting one's platform.
What if the web browser was at the free level, just the web browser thing, but whatever it did, and I can't give you anything tangible because I'm just like spitballing right now. What if the paid part is the part that businesses care about?
People would whine and whine and whine and rant and whine, and the tech companies are evil. I mean, like, there's no winning here.
You give people the web browser for free, but if you're a company, a corporation, an enterprise level business where you need to have the additional functionality that goes beyond what most people need, then that becomes the paid service that supports the browser for everyone.
You were just complaining about having to buy subscriptions to third party products to make your browsers usable yourself. Are you taking two sides of your own coin? I accept your apology. Sure,
because I can. Yeah. All right. So business tool, sure. It's okay to pay for what you're getting. I am totally fine riding both sides of this fence. I'm just frustrated.
Yeah, no, I hear you. There is something. I know we don't have any time. If you look back, think back to the days when there was actual competition for browsers because there were money generators, right? Netscape was for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft Explorer, whatever it was called before it was called Explorer, was for sale. And there were a few other, you know, competing products that were for sale. And one of the big problems is that one or the other would introduce something new. And now, you know, and which sort of segregated the web space. So I mean, we're caught in this turmoil, this vortex of free. And, you know, dreams and aspirations and demands for a unified experience by users, by web developers, by companies, by, you know, retailers. I don't know what the solution is.
No, if we knew what the solution was, we'd develop the product and cash in.
I can turn out probably some pretty mean basics still.
No, we're the thought leaders.
Oh, right.
We will hire our team to make our vision a reality.
Right. Hold on just a second. I think I hear, if I'm not mistaken, I think I hear your hussy calling. Yeah, there she is. Speaking of misogynistic terms, good Lord. what's going on here? Hey, that's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, please write us over at contextmachine.io, or you can reach out to me at GeekTells, T-E-L-L-S. Jeff?
Yeah, you can find me too when I'm not complaining about web browsers on Twitter and Instagram. Jay Gammon on both.
And, I like it.
Yeah.
Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly, the basis by Boom, recorded just for this show. That is all for this week. Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then in that case. Well, you should probably actually told them who the hussy was so they could go and listen to you.
Oh, yeah. In touch with iOS. Dave Ginsberg is an awesome hussy.